Okay. So let's just make a little bit of a summary of what we know. And that is that there's machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Akiva and some other anonymous tana, or tanoim, as to whether or not basar of becholov, and for that matter basar chayav becholov, is doraisa or drabana. And the halacha seems to follow Rav Ashi's understanding that our Mishnah at the beginning of Kol HaBasar reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, and that Basar Of B'cholav is only Derabbanan. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is willing to sort of put a little bit of a carrot in the Mishnah and suggest that Yesh Mehem Min HaTorah Yesh Mehem Midivrei Sofrim, that when the Mishnah says Kol HaBasar in reference to not only Behema but also Chayviyof, and Kol HaBasar Sha'asur Levashel B'cholav Chutz Mi Basar Dogim V'Chagovim, the Mishnah here splits into two. When it comes to Behema, we talk about an Isu Doraisa. When we're talking about Of and Chaya, then we're talking about an Isu Derabbanan. And understandably, the Rabbanon were afraid that if you're going to start cooking milk and meat, I'm sorry, cooking, what I meant to say was chicken and milk together, you might come to cook meat and milk together, and then you'll violate the real Isur Doraisa. And we find throughout Chazal, throughout Shas, we find gzeros of that sort, that we're afraid if we allow you to do this, you'll come to do this. For example, in Hilchos Shabbos, if you carry in a carmelis, so you take something from Rishus HaYochid into a carmelis, which according to Torah laws is permissible, tomorrow maybe you'll take it into Rishus HaRabim and violate a chiyuv Shabbos, Melech HaShabbos Dorais. The Shulchan Aruch, and before him the Rif and the Rambam, paskins that Basar Of B'Cholav is only Derabbanan, like Rabbi Akiva. In fact, the Rambam goes even a step further. He says that when they made this gzeirah of Basar Of B'cholav, they limited it to Isur Achila, and only Isur Achila. They did not extend it
to Bishul
or to Anah. Now, both Bishul and Anah, in the case of Basar Behema, are Doraisa, and you would think that once they took Of and they put it into the category of Behema, although Midrabanan, they would have gone a step further and therefore considered it as an Isur Bishul and an Isur Hanah as well. But that's the Chiddush of the Rambam, and again the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, that they didn't go that far. They only included Of in the Isur Achila, but not in the Isur Bishul and not in the Isur Hanah. That has to be taken under advisement, Rabosai, why they did so. You know, to split the parasha of Basar B'cholav into its parts, and when you make the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan to limit it only to Achila, dropping the ball on Bishul and Hanah, that has to be understood. Intuitively, we get the sense that the Ikar Isur is Achila, and the Rabbanan were only involved, only concerned about the Ikar Havera, the Ikar Isur. I don't know. Alternatively, maybe what happens here is that the Rabbanan felt that it's more commonplace to eat this kind of mixture than to cook it. That's also a little bit weak. But at least on a conceptual level, we're tempted to think that the Isur of Of B'cholav Midrabbanan is sort of like a new entity. It's not an extension or a duplication of what the Torah had designed in Basar B'cholav. I don't know. And this is going to be a very important question when we talk about Maris Ayin, for example. If you have a case of Cholav Shkedim or Cholav Isha together with Of, then does the normal halacha of Maris Ayin, which applies with regard to Basar Behema, extend to include Basar Of? The Rama is going to object to that. And therefore, Zev, who liked to shave Paul? Oh, okay. Mashanot. So the Rama is going to say that there's no Maris Ayin in the case of Basar Of. which is very strange. Wait, did I do that?
No.
Okay. And that would again indicate that basar of somehow takes on its own complexion. The issue that we want to dedicate ourselves to today is whether basar of is included in the Isar Halah. You recall, of course, that the Mishnah at the beginning of Kol HaBasar was divided into three parts. The first part of which was the Isur Bishul, and the second part of which is the Isur Halah, until we finally get to the Isur Neder. The Isur Halah means that you're not allowed to put basar on the table together with gvina. And the Mishnah includes in that Isur Halah not only basar behema, but also basar of and basar chaya as well. And here the question arises, if we're dealing with the sheet of the Chachomim of Rabbi Akiva, who maintain that basar of b'chol of his doraisa nicha, I can understand that all the doraisas that apply to basar behema apply to basar of, and therefore all the drabanans that apply to basar behema should apply equally to basar of. And if the drabanans include the Isur Halah, not to put them both on the same Shulchan, then we should extend that Isur Halah Derabbanan to include Oaf as well. But that's according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Akiva, who maintains that Basar Oaf Becholov is only Derabbanan, now you're telling me I can't put Oaf and Gvina on the same table? What are you worried about? In the worst case scenario, you're worried that I'll eat them together. So what if I eat them together? I violated the Rabbanan. I don't violate the Raisa. Is there a Gzera Atu a Rabbanan? And in the case of Basar Of, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, keep in mind that the Ramah is unwilling to apply Maris Ayin in the case of Basar Of. Why would we now apply the Isur Halah to Basar Of? And therefore, if I were to close my eyes without looking into the Shulchan Aruch and try to guess what am I going to find in the Shulchan Aruch as far as the Isur Halah with regard to Of, since the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Basar Of is only Derabbanan, I would be tempted to think that it would be excluded as far as the Isur Halah is concerned. Should the Rabbanan get up and make a Gzera because of Basar Of, which is itself only a Gzera Derabbanan because of Basar Behemah? You're talking about an entire domino theory. You know, if I put Of on the table with Gvina, I might eat them together. And if I eat them together, I might eat Basar Behemah together with Cholov. I mean, you've got a whole chagag over here. You started with halah, that's going to lead to achila of basar of bigvina, and basar of bigvina itself is mutter according to Torah law. Elo what? That itself might lead to basar behema. You've got, you know, how far removed can you go? And if I want to even complicate the issue, even if I were to eat chas v'shalom basar behema with cholov, with gvina together, even that's not a doraisa. Because as we said in the first shiur, derech bishal asra Torah. So we're really getting into some very heavy stuff. And the truth is that when it comes to gzera l'gzera, that concept, and again, if you have time, you'll go through the Encyclopedia Talmudit as a whole essay on gzera l'gzera, you'll find something very interesting. That not once and not twice, but frequently, the Gemara says that despite the rule of Ein Gozrin Gzeru Gzera, Kula Chad Gzerahi, that very often we will insist on making one sweeping Gzera, even though it's a Gzeru Gzera. Correct. And I'll give you an example from Abaye. Abaye Shita, very famous Shita of Abaye, is that there's one gzera that you cannot carry from a Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis. There's another gzera that a person who's standing in a Rishus HaYochid is not allowed to lean over into Rishus HaRabim and drink water, because if you do so, he may be tempted to carry something into that Rishus. And Abaye says that we can piggyback one gzera onto the other, and you're not allowed to stand in a Rishus HaYachid, lean over into a Carmelis and drink water into Carmelis. Why? Because Kula Chadik Zerihi, when they prohibited drinking water with your feet in one Rishus and your mouth drinking the water in the other Rishus, they included a Carmelis in that very Gzerah. So the question there is, therefore is, according to Abai's logic, when they made the Gzerah of Basar Oaf, if we pass it like Rabbi Akiva, that Basar Oaf is only the Rabbanon. Correct. Did they say that included in the Gzerah is not just Achilas Basar Oaf B'cholov, but even Halas Basar Oaf B'cholov Al Shulchan Echad? And therefore, Abaye might be the key to answer my problem. Because my problem is that if you open up the Shulchan Aruch and you have a photocopy of it in front of you, and he says, Pesimon Peches, Lo lahalos basar al shulchan sha'ochlin gvina, and he says, Afilu basar chayav v'ov, basar laloso al shulchan sha'ochlol av gvina. Wait a minute. Didn't the Shulchan Aruch just paskin in Simon Pei Zayin, like the Rambam, like Rabbi Akiva, that Basar Oaf B'cholov is only Drabbanon? And yet now he's applying the Isra Allah, which is another Drabbanon, piggybacking it on the shoulders of Basar Oaf B'cholov, which is a Drabbanon, telling me that I can't put cheese and chicken on the same table. Because cheese and chicken I might eat together. So what? If I eat together, it's only Drabbanon? That's how the Mechaber Paskins in the previous Simon. And that Rabbanon might lead me to the ultimate Avera of Basa Behema. The only way I could understand this is if I apply the rule of Abaye, who says that when they made the original Issa that you can't stand in one Rishus and drink water in another Rishus with your head stretched out, they applied that Gzera straight through, even to include a Carmelis. And I apply the principle of Kula Chada Gzera if I want to make the next step. When they formulated the Gzera of Basar Oaf B'cholov, they included the Isar Halah as well. They didn't say, don't eat Basar B'cholov. They said, don't put Basar B'cholov on the table. That's the way the Gzera was formulated. And I was very excited about this until I realized that, unfortunately, Abaye Shita regarding a Carmelis and stretching your head out is not one of Yal Kagan. And Rava disagrees with Abaye. And Rava says that this is a classical case of Gzera L'Gzera, Vanan Lo Gazrina Gzera L'Gzera. So now the plot grows thicker. Because what I got to do now is I've got to reconcile Rava, who says Ein Gozri Gzera L'Gzera in the case of Carmelis, when you stretch your head into a Carmelis from Shusiyach to drink, and that's forbidden. According to Abaye, it's forbidden. According to Rava, it's permissible. How do I reconcile that with the Chumra that we see here in Peches, which is reflected really in Pashup Shat now in Mishnah, that the Isra Allah applies to Basar Oaf? Is the question clear? So first of all, I wanted to show you something here in this, by way of introduction. He writes the following. What is this? What is the nature of this Isur Halah? What are we really worried about? He says, this is on the left, you know, in the first page, but on, you know, there are two columns. There's the right column, Biurim, and then there's the left column. So on the left column, he says the following. Shemikevon shenimtzoim shneim al shulchan. Once you have both meat, or oh for that matter, and gvin on the same shulchan, yesh lachush shema Yavo li ochlam biyachad. Rabosai, you might come to eat them together. So what if you eat them together? They were never cooked together. And by the way, I saw in the Taz, and I don't know if he's quoting the Taz, that the Taz says this very thing. He says, Shelo yavo li ochlam biyachad. Afal pishek sha'ochlam biyachad lekab azayisa dorais. As I frek the Taz, a very simple logical question. Shein Yisrael adafka derech bishol biyachad. Vidim tzedavi gzera l'gzera. Because what are you afraid of? He'll eat them together, but even if he eats them together, he didn't cook them together. You have to add another notch here. He says, b'gemor amrinon, d'gazrinon gzera l'gzera. So we now have, according to the Taz, a very exceptional case that even though Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera, and that principle should logically apply here in this case to piggyback an Iser Halah that he might come to eat it together, because then he might come to cook it together. Nevertheless, here in this case, for some unknown reason, Gazrin and Gzera L'Gzera. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Tosa says at the beginning of Pesachim, it's very well known, that basar v'chalav like chametz v'pesach is lo bedili minei inshin. And that we are more machmir, let's take the case of chametz. We know that chametz is not like any other isur. It has a super duper chumrah that not only are you enjoined from eating chametz, you're also enjoined from possessing chametz. And you can't keep chametz in your rishus. And not only that, I can't even invite you to keep your chametz in my rishus. And not only that, I have to be bodek my chametz. Okay, that's the rabbanon, but you see how far the rabbanon went. And they required that I check my house and get rid of all the chametz. So Tosas says, we don't find that in Shari Suru. So Tosas, because lo bedili minei inshin. When you have something that's essentially heter, and you get used to it, we have to be more and more mach. And perhaps we could say that that same svara called lo bedili minei inshin should apply to basar v'chalav. Because after all, what do you have here? You've got meat, which is kosher meat, it's got badatz hechsher on it, and you've got milk that has the ravanut, whatever it has. I don't know, can you get badatz on milk here in this country? I don't think so. You can? Oh, okay. Mahadrin, mina mahadrin, it's already near Chanukah. And there it's hetav v'zeh hetav b'fnei atzma v'zeh hetav b'fnei atzma. So maybe there's lo b'dili minei inshi, and therefore the chachamim are going to be machmir, one gzera piled on top of the other gzera. I don't know. That's something that we have to really study. In any event, the gzera here of halah clearly is Shema Yochlam B'yachad. We saw it in the Mechaber, we saw it in the Taz. And then he says, V'afalpi, if you could underline those words, V'afalpi, Shegam im Yochlam Yachad. If you have a pen? No, really, because this is the afal pishagamim yochlam yachad lo ka ovar beisur doraisa. And why not?
Because it's not cooked.
It's not cooked. That's called tzonein b'tzonein. Shalon is bashli yachad. Vegam. Add to that, shahare basar chayav yov ikar isurim hu rakter habadon. Even if you were to cook them together, it's only ov. And we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, as we saw in Simon Pei Zion, Seif Gimel. The Amrinon, Bekabaduchti, Delo Gazrinon Gzera L'Gzera. Oh, so at least we're on the same page. He's bothered by the same question that we're bothered by. But his answer is a little bit too technical for me. He could have fleshed it out a little bit more. He says, "Ein ledamos gzeres chachamim zu lezu ulefa'amim ro sheyesh ligzar af gzera ligzera." If you take a look at the note on the bottom, he says it's the crazy uplacy bebir divrei hamachaber, and then he tells you, "I am bebirim." You should see how we embellish this on the right column in the biurim. Again, what we're left with here is some overriding push and motivation for the Chachamim to be Gozer, Gzera, L'Gzera. But it's not spelled out why they would do so. So let's look at the Biurim for a second. And he says in the Biurim, I'm Asher Kazan, no, B'Shem HaKresi, play the Hoch HaGozer, Gzera, V'Afagav. The besugian kuvdalet amid beis amru da gzer bazehu sheyala beilfis kli rishon roseh havile oz bishul bebaschol dorai sover machaber to amru kain el lirav Yosef the boy lachuchi mea mishnah the basar of bechol of da oraisa v'lo avi nichle lemeimer de chashu kain chachamim tfei mi bialma ligzar af gzer ligzer. Avalimadu sovra abaye, interesting abaye, that's what we get. The liolam basar of the rabbanon, umikomakom gazru bo gzera ligzera, ain't tzarch lefarish betama gzera du otu halah beilfis rosech, letamu de gozin halah otu achila, Afal gav da'achila gufa rak min rabbanon, kevon ditzonin bitzonin hu kein kosa b'kresu place b'yudu d'rama. So it's very interesting. To summarize his presentation, he wants to say that the principle of ein gozrin gzera l'gzera is a machlokes between two Amoraim. And Abai, in fact, is all in favor of gozrin gzera l'gzera. Rav Yosef would learn that our Mishnah that prohibits halah in Oaf and Gvina al Shulchan Echad, that reflects the Shita of the Chachom of Rabbi Akiva, that Oaf is Doraisa, and therefore the Gzera is in place. Rabbi Yosef Lishitosa could not possibly tolerate that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Akiva, that Oaf is only Traponon, because then to Aser Halah, in the case of Oaf, as the Mishnah does, Atu, Bishul, or Achil, or whatever it might be, is a Gzera L'Gzera, and we can't tolerate Gzera L'Gzera. Therefore, Rav Yosef is compelled to justify our Mishnah in one way and one way only. It reflects the Shita of the Chachamim and not the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. But the ball game is not over because there's Abai. And Abai holds that Gazrin and Gzera L'Gzera, and our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Oaf is only what? Dirabbanon. Halah, nevertheless, will include Oaf as well, because when they made the Gzera of Oaf, they said all the dinim that apply to Oaf, whether it's Achila or Halah, apply and are included in this Gzera. And that's what we're seeing over here. The only problem is Rabosai. That's wonderful. Except that Rav disagrees with Abai. And Rav, as we'll soon see, is of the opinion that when they made the Gzera of don't stand with your feet in one rishus and your head stretched out to another rishus and drink water, they did not include Carmelis in that gzera, because that would be a gzera l'gzera. So that it's very nice that he presents this crazy uplacy that is willing to attribute our psak halach to Abaye, but what about Rafa? That's what's going to bother me in our discussion today.
Just what about
Rav?
We pass
Chutz Miyal Kagam.
Right, and this is not one of those.
This is not one of the six.
So therefore, it's
no way, no how.
I mean, it's a major question because you're going
to. It's a major question. We have to resolve this issue, and I'm telling you that even though it's a very nice presentation and it's crystal clear, but it doesn't stim la halacha with Rav. It makes sense that our psak here could reflect Abaye if we would paskin like Abaye, but it's not one of those rare cases that we accept Abaye.
Unless there's a special reason for Eichon.
Correct. And that's what he seems to imply over here in the Bari HaShulchan, that maybe, you know, we can't compare this Gzera to that Gzera, and sometimes the Chacham want to extend it and go far and far and far, but he doesn't tell you exactly why they did so, but no doubt Rava is going to have to come up with some answer to that question.
Isn't it possible that this, that we could view this as being a halacha de Rabbanan, but not a gzeira, up to that you're doing it in order to avoid that basubachalot? This is a separate de Rabbanan that it made that as its own. Yeah, it has its own life of its own, so to speak. Oh. Then you're not talking about a gzera l'gzera, number one. And number two, it helps explain why, how come they didn't do it, they didn't do it kein d'oraisa, which would be also official and I'm not. They just
okay.
Made a separate gzera.
So, Alan, you're good.
Isn't that what you said before?
Yeah, yeah. So let me try to see if we can flesh this out, okay? My question for you today is, what is gzera l'gzera? And I want to offer two different answers to that question. One answer is to say the following, that the first gzera would not hold water without the second gzera. Meaning, the second gzera is coming to strengthen the first gzera. That's one way of learning gzera l'gzera. The other way of learning gzera l'gzera is no. The second gzera is not coming to strengthen the first gzera. The second gzera is a result of the first gzera. meaning that once the first gzera was placed, was put into motion, now that first gzera takes on a life of its own, and I need a second gzera to avoid the violation of the first gzera. And I think that with regard to basar of, and specifically the Iser Halah, we can begin to analyze this gzera l'gzera from the perspective of those two definitions. What do I mean to say? Achilu l'chud, halal l'chud. I can definitely say the following. That I could imagine a situation in which a person is very clear in his mind, he's very knowledgeable and convinced that he's not allowed to eat basar of b'chalav. The Rabbanan asked it, and he's not going to eat it. He may come to inadvertently eat basar of b'chalav if they're both on the same table. When I say inadvertently, what I mean is b'tos or b'shogek. But I don't believe that the first gzera, namely the Iser Basar of Becholav, the Iser Achila of Basar of Becholav, will either stand or fall based on the second gzera. Even if I allow you, this is my point, and again, I'm not saying you have to be convinced that what I'm saying is correct. You can fight me tooth and nail. But at least give me the benefit of that and listen to what my presentation, whatever good points my presentation might have in it. I could say that you're allowed to eat at a table with both Oaf and Gvina on the same table. I could agree with you that there may be a mistake here, a toast, and inadvertently, because they're on the same table, he may forget himself and put them into the mouth and eat it simultaneously. But what I'm not willing to accept is that if I allow you to place Oaf and Gvina on the same table, then you're going to come to the mistaken conclusion that you're allowed to eat them together. You may inadvertently eat them, but not come to a toast. Meaning, let's go back to our two definitions of gzera l'gzera. Our first definition of gzera l'gzera means that if you don't institute the second gzera, the first gzera is going to fall apart. It's not going to have what's called a long shelf life. Our second definition is that no, first institute gzera A, and now once gzera A is asur, it has a life of its own, and we're going to need gzera B in order to avoid the violation of gzera A. If you take our first definition, I don't believe that it applies here in this case, because I don't believe that the life of the first gzera depends, the oxygen for the first gzera depends on instituting the second gzera. I can do away with the second gzera and allow you and be permissible to put both on the same table, gvina and basarov, without jeopardizing the life of the first gzera. Again, you might come to violate the first gzera, but the gzera still is meaningful. The mindset of the people is that you're not allowed to eat chicken with milk. You know, I could have situations X, Y, and Z which might lead you to violate that, but you'll still remain as a very knowledgeable Jew, understanding full well that you're not allowed to eat them together. You may inadvertently eat them together. You know, shalom kavanah b'shogeg. But it doesn't mean that, you know, now the whole first gzera is going to collapse, is going to fall, you know, like sand in between my fingers. And therefore, Abosai, I would say to you the following. That wherever in Shas it says that, yes, kula chad gzerahi, you know what those words mean, kula chad gzerahi? That if you don't have the second gzera, the first gzera is going to be meaningless. The people will not understand. They will come to the mistaken conclusion from the perspective of the brain. Right, there are two issues here, the brain and the hands. Meaning, my hands can take two things on the table and put them into my mouth together. that's not in the brain. If you'd stop me for a moment and say, wait a minute, are you thinking about what you're doing? You would immediately snap out of it and realize, hey, what am I doing? I'm not only eating both and challah together. I know that that's aser. When we say that, you know what, we'll add a gzera to another gzera, that means kulachad gzera. What does kulachad gzera mean? It's all one gzera. It means that people will not understand this distinction. You're allowing me to do X, and you're telling me I'm forbidden from doing Y. And Y was a real bona fide gzera that the Chacham felt they were compelled, they felt were very necessary, very urgent, very justified. That's not going to hold water. Then it's kulachad gzera. I may need to add another fence around the first fence, because if I don't add the second fence, the first fence is going to fall apart. People will not be able to comprehend the differences. That I don't believe will apply here in Halacha. Even if I allow you to put it on the same table, that doesn't mean that therefore you think you're allowed to eat it together. It's very well known, and it's deeply embedded, Zechadar L'toch HaMoach, L'toch HaTodaa Yehudit, that you're not allowed to eat basar of pechalav. Why do I need the second gzera? Because I might violate the first gzera. Oh, that's something different. That's already a different type of gzera l'gzera. That means that the first gzera has a life of its own. Forget about the fact that the first gzera was meant as a fence to protect you from eating basar behema be'ov. I'm sorry, basar behema be'cholov. Forget about that. The Rabbanan said that you cannot eat oaf be'cholov. No, once they did that, we have to make sure that you won't make a mistake inadvertently, not an intellectual mistake, but the mistake of the hands, and come to put oaf and cholov in the same mouth. And in order to guarantee that you won't violate the first gzera, we need to institute the second gzera. That's already aim goes from gzera to gzera. According to whom? According to Rav. Abaye would say that even the second category, where the first gzera now has a life of its own, and now I have to protect you and be machik you from violating the first gzera, that too comes under kulachad gzera. Sammy, I mean, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get it all out, you know.
So the case of the carnalist is qualitatively different from this
case. Well, no. What I'm trying to say is that the case of the carnalist is exactly this case. Why? Because you have two different gzeras, and they're independent one of the other. One is a gzera that my goof might be stretched out together with my mouth, when I stretch it to the rishus harabim to drink, or the other way around, then I will be nimshach and I'll violate the iser hotzah. And then a person in his mind might think, hey, you know what, a carmelist looks awfully similar to rishus harabim. If you're going to allow me to carry in a carmelist, I'm going to come to the conclusion that I'm allowed to carry in rishus harabim, which is dalad am rishus harabim.
Isn't that different from what you explained?
Wait a minute. Give me one more minute, because maybe you're already ahead of me. I my mind moves very slow. So I just let me go slowly. So what I'm suggesting is that the issue of Abaye and Rava in the case of the carmelists, that's the issue. Not that the first gzera stands or falls with the second gzera. Meaning, that's not the issue of kulachad gzera the way we interpreted kulachad gzera. That if you forfeit the second gzera, the first gzera is just going to fall apart. Meaning, if I don't extend this Easter into a carmelist, then the whole Easter carmelist will fall apart. No! They're two independent gzeros. Norvus, you might say that, if you allow me to stretch my head out in the case of a carmelist, right, again, I'm standing in Rishus HaYachid, so if you allow me to drink into a carmelist, then tomorrow I might drink into Rishus HaRabin, right? That's already a gzera l'gzera. Meaning that, you might come to violate the original gzera of standing in Rishus HaYachid and drinking in Rishus HaRabin. If I allow you to stand in Rishus HaYachid and drink in a carmelist, then tomorrow, or next Shabbos, you'll stand in Rishus HaYachid and you'll drink in a Rishus HaRabin, correct?
But that's not the same as the Divina on the Shulchan. In other words, there, I inadvertent. Here it's not inadvertent by the Karma, but there I think that indeed I might be led to think that it is okay to do something.
That's why I disagree with you on that. And you might be right and I could be wrong. You might be right and I might be wrong. What I'm saying is that each gzera stands on its own. Meaning, I can understand in my mind that there's an iser to stand in one rishus and stretch my hand in the other rishus because it's a little bit of a hotzah. It's a, like a quasi-hotzah. On the other hand, I can understand that I can't carry in a caramelis. However, the inadvertent element here could kick in because if you allow me to stretch my head out into a caramelis, then tomorrow I might stretch my head out into a rishus ramen. So that's a gzeral gzeral.
No,
knowing that it's not okay, correct. Yeah. Good point. Knowing that it's also to do so. Meaning, it's not a question of an intellectual mistake, it's a question of an inadvertent mistake. I like your formulation. That, I think, is the machlokus between Abaye v'Rava. Abaye v'Rava both agree, let's set the standards. Kuli avalo pligi when it's kula chadek zera. Meaning, people won't understand that they should maintain the first gzera if you're lenient and liberal about the second gzera. It's just going to fall apart. It's not going to hold water. It's a matter of time before the whole original gzera is just going to be lost in oblivion. You know, it's like the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah that speaks about pas akum. There was originally a gzera on shemen akum. It couldn't hold water. You know. So that both Rav and Abaye agree, and that you'll find all of the Shas, kula chadek zera. Okay, we'll look for examples, bli neder, as we go along. You know, if the first zera is not going to stand up, you need the second zera just simply as part of the first zera. It's all part of one thing. But what happens when you have an overlap of two gzeros? The first gzera is very well understood, and we have no danger, there's no jeopardy zone that it might fall apart, and people are going to just throw out the gzera, you know, they'll throw out the baby with the bathwater. That's not the issue. The issue is that if you don't maintain the second gzera, then you might violate the first gzera inadvertently, like you say. That's a machlokas Abaye v'Rava. Abaye went as far as to say, you know what? Even in this kind of case, I'm willing to apply kula chadek zera. Why? Because when they made the original gzera, they wanted to put in all the checks and balances that would be necessary for that gzera to exist befall, meaning that it would be upheld and no one would violate it. So they had to say that, you know what, when we prohibit you from standing in one rishus and stretching your head into rishus harabim and drinking in the rishus harabim, they had to add a caramelist to boot, because if they would be liberal on the caramelist, then tomorrow they might be liberal and violate the rishus harabim halacha. So therefore, Abaye says it's kula chadek zera. If you don't add the second zera to boot, you know, to piggyback, then they'll violate the first zera. That's where Rava disagrees. Rava says, ad kan. If you want to tell me the whole gzera is going to fall apart, that's kula chadek zera. We need the second gzera to maintain the existence. It's the oxygen pipe, you know, to keep the patient alive as far as the first gzera. But if you're telling me that if I violate the second gzera, I might come to violate the first gzera, that's gzera l'gzera, that we don't do. And when we apply this to the case of Basar Of B'chalav, as far as halah is concerned, Abaye is going to say, you want to keep me away from eating Basar B'chalav, and that's the gzera of Of, because Of could lead to Behema, then give me all the tools, you know, expand the scope of the gzera in such a way that I definitely will not eat Of B'chalav. Why? Because if I eat Of B'chalav, I'm going to come to eat Behema. It's a gzera l'gzera, it doesn't matter. According to Abaye, what was the gzera? The gzera was, don't do with Of whatever might lead to you violating Basar Of B'chalav. That was the gzera. And if halah is another way of guaranteeing a harchaka that we won't eat Of B'chalav, then kula chadek zera. That's Abaye. But Rava's not going to accept it. Rava's going to say these are two different gzeras. The first gzera will exist on its own, and the people will understand that you're not allowed to eat Of B'chalav, even if you allow me to put it on the same table. Narvas, you're afraid that if I put it on the same table, I might be tempted to eat it together inadvertently. That's gzera. And therefore, you know, after this whole elaborate introduction, I come back to my first question. How do I justify this?
Why couldn't you say that gzera is the truth of the difference?
So I'm saying that's perfectly correct according to Abai. Abai is saying that oaf equals basar, and therefore I have to go to the ends of the world to guarantee that you won't eat oaf, because if I allow you in some sense to eat the oaf, you're going to eat the basar. And therefore Abai says, kulachad exer. Comes along the road and he says, wait a minute. You don't have a right to go step number one and then step number two. I want to be marked from this, and then I can, well, you might come to this, and if you do this, you know, that's already gzera. And Rav is not willing to apply the principle of kulachad gzeri. Circumscribes kulachad gzeri to the very unique situations in which people in their minds cannot begin to understand the difference between A and B. And therefore, once you blur that distinction, the whole first gzera is going to fall apart, like castles in the sand. That's kulachad gzera. But to say that if I don't institute halah, then the first gzera, basar, oaf, b'chalav is going to fall apart, that's not so. So what if I put it on the table? So let's do me something. I'll give you an example. If, let's say, I had a piece of nevela, can I put it on my table? What do you mean, can I put it on my table? I'm eating kosher meat, and here is a shtick nevela.
Yes.
I'm allowed to do it.
Yes.
Now, why don't you say the following, that if you allow me to put nevela on the table with what? With my basar kosher, and tomorrow I'm going to come to the conclusion that you're allowed to eat nevela. Ridiculous!
No, but you could be to forget that that is
nevela. Oh, exactly. So, would the rabbana make the gzera? So we said something before about lobdila mina inchi and here in basar. But all I'm trying to say is that you're right, Alan, that there could have been, if there was a rabbi in the room, again, I'm not a big machmer, but let's say there was a rabbi who wanted to be machmer and say, don't put nevela on the table while you're eating your meal. He makes sense. What does he make sense? You're gonna have the nevela on the table, he'll put it in his mouth. But again, I would never accept the rabbi to tell me, well, if you're gonna allow me to put the nevela on the table, he's gonna think that you're allowed to eat nevela. That we're not stupid. You know, we can make inadvertent mistakes. You know, we you know, you get involved in a conversation on the table. You know, we're talking about Dvarim Home to Beruma Shalom. You know, we get into a little schmooze on the table about Chodesh El and about Rosh Hashanah's Yom HaDin and the meaning of Shofar. We get into a discussion on the table about what Basar Of Bekolim is all about. We get all confused, and then all of a sudden there's a good piece of meat on the table. I forget it's Nevela. That's a valid way of saying gzera, and then the question is, will and why not? You know, why not institute that gzera? But to say that therefore the whole Issa Nevela is going to be marred in the minds of the mind, they're going to be, that's wrong. Even Abai is not saying that. Abai is only saying that when the Rabbanon institute gzera, they want to make sure that you won't violate that gzera before. They'll be machik you in such a way, even if it means fence upon fence upon fence, so that you don't violate the. They don't want that gzera to be violated under any, you know, at all costs. You know, they're gonna. That's Abai. Abai has a broader definition of goes from gzera to gzera, of kulachad to gzera.
Why is it possible that by karmelis, when we go back to Abai, by karmelis? He said, the first gzeira is hanging your head over into a shoot serapin. He said, you're not allowed to do that because you may come to be actually being over.
Over an Easter Hotzah Doraisa.
That's a Doraisa. Why can't you just say that when they instituted Carmelis, they had instituted Carmelis to have a din just like Doraisa, like Rishut Sarabin? And then
it finishes. That's a bias.
That's
exactly a bias.
That's
kulichad exerahi in the definition of a bias. Rava's definition of kulichad exerahi is when the two gzeris meet each other, they're absolutely connected with a bond of marriage, you know, a Catholic marriage, they cannot be separated. Because if you separate them, then nobody's gonna accept the first gzera. They simply don't. It won't enter into their minds.
But the same thing.
That's wrong.
But then the same.
But to say to make another harchok after another harchok, again at the end of the day, what you said, Alan, is Abaye, and Abaye's gonna say, you know what? let's take basa b'chalav and let's, you know, let's be malvish onto the isur basa b'chalav drabbanan, all the isurim as if it was behema. That's what Abai wants us to do. But Rava would logically would object to that. Again, unless there's some element or variable here that we're not aware of, but from the perspective of universal Rava, in Dine Gzeres Rabbanan, we don't do such a thing. We don't have to imagine all scenarios that might lead you to violate this Gzeira Drabbanan and include them in the original Gzeira. Rava says we don't do that. That's called Gzeira L'Gzeira. Now, if you're telling me that if you don't add the extra piece, the first piece will not stand on its own 2 feet. It's wobbling, it's, you know, it's hinkadik, as we say in Yiddish, it's about to fall apart. Then Rava says that's Kulachat Gzeira. But to go the extra step, that Rava's not willing to do.
Okay.
Now, I don't have for you, because again, there are certain computer issues, a sefer here that you can get it online called the Teferis Yankov. Those of you who were with me for the introductory shiur, I mentioned the Teferis Yaakov. Okay? And I want to read to you one line, just one line from the Teferis Yaakov, which I think would be very helpful. And he says the following. Give me a second to find it. Oh, one line. Listen to these words. He says, "Bevadai ein chashash." Shemachmas heter ha'aloh yatir li'atzmo afachil. I think he's saying what we're saying. I'm going to read it to you one more time. He says, Shaykh Ligzar otu ha'aloh sheyishkach v'yochal basar of b'cholav. If he's got basar of and cholav on the same table, Shaykh, he says, sheyishkach v'yochal b'yachad. Aval ein chashash shemachmas heter halo yatir li atzmo gamachil. So again, I'm not saying Rabosai, you know, Teferis Yaakov lived 100 years ago. You know, it's not. I'm not quoting a Rambam here, but you know what his last name was. Did somebody just sneeze? Yeah. His last name was Gesundheit. Okay. So that's one line. That's a one liner from the Teferis Yaakov.
But would he not say the same to be with basar b'chalav?
Correct. So basar behema, you're talking? Oh, so basar behema, he's saying shemi yishka. Meaning, if I allow you to put basar, your first class basar, on the table with gvina, then inadvertently you're going to violate an Issa D'oraisa. That's a classical gzeira. Shemi Yishka.
But he's never going
to
say.
He's never going to say you're allowed to eat basar behema with chol. That much of an amoritz he's not.
So that's the same thing.
But I'm just saying that it makes sense to do that and make such a gzeira of halal with regard to basar, meaning behema, but not with regard to oaf. Because with regard to oaf, you're going to say Shemi Yishka. So what if he's Yishka? And what's so gefährlich, was is ein gefährlich, the terrible catastrophe, he eats basar of b'chol, if it's only a drabbanan. Now you're making a gzeira to a drabbanan. That's called gzeira l'gzeira going to Rav. If you were to tell me, not like Rav Yaakov Gesundheit, if we argue from the opposite, that if you allow him to put basar of and gvina on the table, he's going to think you're allowed to eat them together against Rav Yaakov, then it's kulachat gzeira, even according to Rav.
What about
is that clear? Again, I don't know if you're excited about this. I mean, I got very excited about this because this opened. There's so many sugis and shas that we can. I think we now have the tools to analyze. You know?
Well, what about if he makes a mistake and he eats basar oaf and gvina together? Okay, so you say it's not such a big deal. What is it we're talking about? Only exerzer abayim. But is it possible that somebody else seeing him eating them together will make the toes and say that Basar Bachalav is mutter?
Right. So that's already Marasayan, and keep in mind that the Ramah says we're not afraid of Marasayan in the case of an Isur Derabbanan. And therefore you're allowed to actually cook, according to the Ramah. The Poskim didn't accept this Ramah, but the Ramah allows you to cook parva milk with chicken. Whether it's Chalav Isha, Chalav Shkedim, and all the rest.
The Rambam allows you to cook Chalav with oaf.
Yeah, but that was before the Rashba. What I mean to say is the Rashba changed everything. Because what did the Rashba do? The Rashba took the Gemara in Shabbos about Dam Chalav. Excuse me, Dam Dogim. That the Gemara says if you collect dam dogim into a receptacle, you're not allowed to drink it. Why? Because of Marasayin. And the Rashba came along and said, who adin if you have chalav shkedim? Actually, the Rashba's case, my mistake, is not chalav shkedim, it's chalav isha. Okay, so the Rashba said that Cholav Isha cannot be used with Basar, just like you can't be, because once you have the Dam Dogim, it looks like Dam, and people will mistakenly think that it's Dam, and therefore the Gemara says you're not allowed to drink that Dam, even though Dam Dogim is perfectly Mutter. But there's an Isur of Maris Ayin. So the Rashba went ahead and he extended it to Basar B'Cholav. And he said, if you have a Cholav that looks like Cholav, like Cholav Isha, even though it's Parva, you can't use it to cook with meat. That was the Rashba's breakthrough. The Rambam was unaware of such a thing. You won't find anywhere in the Rambam Hilchos Basar B'Cholav Maris Ayin. This is the Rashba's breakthrough. The Tshuvas HaRashba. But who picked up on the Tshuvas HaRashba? No less important of a figure than the Beis Yosef himself, Rabbi Yosef Cairo. And that's how Halacha develops. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if for how many centuries, let's say until Rav Yosef Cairo, from the time of the Gemara to Rav Yosef Cairo is about what? It's about, how much? 300. From the time of the Gemara to Rav Yosef Cairo, who lived 500 years ago, it's about 1100, how many? 1100 years. I don't know if for 1100 years anybody knew about this Isur Marasayin. I mean, again, it was tucked away in a tshuva in the Rashba. You know how many volumes there are? The Rashba? I mean, who knew about it? Maybe in Spain they knew about it. You know, in Barcelona, you know, the Rashba was inspired. You could actually walk down the cobblestones that the Rashba walked on. If you're, I'm not telling you to go to Barcelona, but if you go, it's called the Cajal, they call it, right? Even the Spaniards call it the Cajal. Again, you know, they put up all these signs for the Cajal, but those signs for the Cajal are inches away from where the Spaniards, you know, murdered Jews publicly in the square. But okay, forget about that. I don't want to talk about Spain. Because there was a golden age of Spain, and that's the Rashba's period.
Why actually, wouldn't it be that if you put the basal and the challah and the off on the same table, the milk and the off on the same table?
I'm glad you made that mistake, because I make these mistakes all the time, so I'm not the only one. What?
Why aren't we koshish? If you have.
So what if you eat it? We paskin that eating oaf for cholav is mutter.
No,
Minatora. It's only also the Rabbana.
Okay.
So if the Rabbana made that gzera, we have to now tell me don't put it on the same table? That's gzera
l'gzera. If we were lichatchila eating it, that's fine. But since we've paskin that it's an isur de Rabbana.
Right.
Once you put it on the table, it's on the same table. Now, not everybody's has his full dad. People put in front of him. He's not sitting there alone. There are other people sitting there.
So that's a bayish.
You know, it's like a situation where you've got basar chalakim, maybe who somebody's makpid on chalakim. You've got basar rabbanu.
So Zev, your neshama, is very aligned with Abai. Maybe you're a Gilgal of Abai. I don't know. Which is not such a bad thing, by the way. I'm a big fan of Abai. You know, very often when I learn Abai v'Rava, I like Abai better than Rava. You know how poor Abai was? I don't want to start crying. I mean, his life was... He was born without parents. He was adopted by his uncle Rava, who was poor as a church mouse. Even his uncle didn't have what to put on the table. And Abai dedicated himself to the study of Torah with the poverty. And the Gemara says that Abai and Rava were both from Beis Eli. You know, there was a curse on Beis Eli. Rava died at the age of 40. Who could believe it? It's like the stories they tell you about the Arizal. I heard one story that he died at the age of 33. I don't know if you ever heard such a thing. What? Who could believe that the man died at the age of 33? What did I know when I was 33? Did I know the difference between an aleph and a beis? They say about the Arizal, again, these are all mystical stories, that when he got an aliyah, he would chaz a shas before he got to the bima. First half of shas when he got up from the aliyah, and the second half of shas when he went down. And the only reason Abai lived till the age of 60 is because he dedicated himself not just to Torah but also to Gemilas Chasodim. And the Chofetz Chaim in his Havas HaChesed writes in a footnote, a beautiful footnote, he said that Abai was meant to die at the age of 40 just like Rav. El what? He dedicated himself half of his life to Torah and half of his life to this. So he dedicated 20 years to Gemilas Chasodim. So Hashem gave him back the 20 years and he lived till 60. So if you had the neshama of Abaye, you're not doing bad. You're doing pretty good. But we pass like Rava, except for Yal Kaga.
But practically, Rava would be
matir. Yeah, because again, Rava has a principle called Eggs Kozun Gzeil, which means we only aser Basar of Bechol because you might kanti Basar Behema Bechol. Okay, but that doesn't mean that I have to add another Harchoka. Protect, you know, offense protecting Basar of Pecholov. That I don't have to do. Daily b'gzeirachas. I don't need two gzeirs. And then you're going to get a third gzeir. You're going to tell me, you know, don't put them both in the same fridge because you might come to put them on the same table. And I know someone who paskins like that. I know a Jew, I mean, I think he's still alive. He's close to 100. And he doesn't allow milk and meat in the same fridge. You have to have a whole machitza down your fridge, and I don't know, it's very complicated. So how far are you going to go? Truth be told, you leave open stuff in the fridge, it's really a problem. You know, for example, you have leftover milk. So did you ever see it? Maybe in your house they're more mocked, but in our house we're not so mocked. But then you end up with a cup that's got half filled with milk. Come back the next day and see if the cup is still there. Nobody drank the milk. It's all over the fridge. You know what I'm saying? So maybe we should have gedarim about how we mix meat and milk in the fridge. I don't know. But there's really ein l'dover sof. So we have a rule called ein gzeirus
gzeirus. Yeah, but we see on the practical level, for instance, if you get an industrial kitchen, they will have a separate cold room for milk.
You know what? I'll tell you the truth, Seth. When it comes to kashrus standards for the public, I'm all in favor of raising the ante because there's so much terrible stuff going on in those big kitchens. Okay, Rabosai, we're going to stop here. What I'd like to ask you to do, again, it all depends on your schedules and I can't force you to do this, is to plow through the Gemara. I think this introduction will help us a great deal. So we're on Kuf Dalet. And we're going to start with the two dots, which is five lines up from the bottom. And we're going to go all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. And I really honestly believe that if you read every word in Rashi carefully, and you're going to have to add this Tosfos called Umina Temra, then in Mirtz Hashem, if we can get together on Tuesday at 12:15, what? And I think this, you know, in the light of this introduction, but please, you know, have the introduction in mind as you go through the sugya. I think the sugya will be a lot more meaningful. So let me take this opportunity to thank you all for coming. If you could be good emissaries and bring some of your friends, because we're at the critical point. I know Zev has other problems at this hour. I know Sammy's going to have problems at this hour, but I don't want the group to fall apart. This means too much to me. You know, if you know what I mean. So. You know, I don't know how to spread the word. I'm not good at marketing. I took many courses in college and many courses in graduate school. And the one course that would have served me well, I didn't take. Marketing. So, for example, I was in Canada. They invited me in a shul called Shari Shamayim to give a shir before Pesach. So it's part of a Yom Iyun. So they called me up and they said, Rabbi Berlson, give us a title. So I said, I'm going to talk about Achilas Matzah. So call it the Mitzvah Achilas Matzah. Rabbi, that's not going to go. It just won't, nobody's going to show up. You can't just talk about the Mitzvah Matzah. So I went back to David Sirkin, who was in our Kolil in Toronto. And I said, David, he's an expert at marketing. I said, what should I do? He says, tell him how to eat matzah and survive. I got about 20 people for the shiur. So...
I have a question for you.
Yeah, okay. Please.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to ask you.
Okay.
No, you go. Yeah.
This is the...
Oh, the hashlama of the... Okay, good.
You...
All right, everyone, have a great Shabbos. It's good. Thanks again.
It's not on Kulani, it's actually... It's on Tzitzis that we were talking about before.
Right, okay, and good. So let's sit down. I'll just take a drink here.
You brought down the sheet there to say...